What is
biblical counseling?
Biblical counseling will grow you from brokenness to wholeness.
I think what you just said made me look at those scenarios differently.
God replaced all my junk with a beautiful light.
God's really been changing the way that I parent my children.
The most amazing thing is the sufficiency of His Word.
This is Transformed. And now your host, Assistant Professor of Biblical Counseling at the Master's University and Certified Biblical Counselor, Dr. Greg Gifford.
Welcome back to Transform. My name is Dr. Greg Gifford, and we've been talking about ministry burnout. And if you've been in ministry for any period of time, like you, I don't even have to define that phrase, you know what I'm talking about. I want to remind you that ministry isn't unlike other fields, where in some way other fields are inherently easy and ministry is more challenging. There are challenges to ministry, but I mentioned in my last episode that, you know, I'd rather be a pastor professor than be a United States Army officer. I would. I didn't enjoy that. I didn't enjoy the people I was working with, the long hours, the ambiguous missions. I didn't enjoy it. I'd rather be doing what I'm doing. So there's a joy in hard work for the right reasons. So remember, when you're pursuing something worthy, it's usually hard. Be reminded of that. Some of you are overseeing the souls of others. That's hard work, but it's worthy work. That means that there's not really clear boundaries in your life, and people show up at your house and they call you and there's another ministry event. And you're just thinking, Lord, give me the grace day by day to serve you and not get spent in this. So I ended last episode by saying God has given us the resources we need to honor Him in the circumstances we are in. But that doesn't mean that we are getting everything done. You have a line where you say, God has given me X amount of hours today, and if I've used them faithfully and worked hard, then that's it. I'm not going to make them 12 hours, and I'm not going to make it 15 hours. I put in a solid 8 hours today or 10 hours today, whatever your work schedule looks like. Spurgeon said, I quoted him last episode, he said, kill yourselves with work and then pray yourselves alive again. Some of you are like, man, Gifford, I want to go on vacation. Hey, I'll encourage you guys to do that here in a second, but there's nothing noble about being lazy, and that life isn't inspiring to anybody. Wow, you worked at the grocery store part-time bagging groceries your whole life. Oh, tell me what that was like. Like, we are inspired by stories of hardship, difficulty, perseverance, leadership under fire. Like, that is really what amazes us as men and women. And a key component of that is being hardworking. So, of course, we get tired. Of course, we get tired. But that is good and that is right. And the work is not the problem. The exhaustion and the toil in it is really more of the problem. And work will even be part of the eternal state. There's an argument to be made for those working in the millennial kingdom in that literal 1,000-year period, working the temple. So we know that work will be present with us forever, but exhaustion and futility in our work is what will change. So we give thanks for the right kind of work, and that right kind of work is still hard. So how do I protect against ministry burnout? You know, I'm at year 16. Let's see, I might be at year 17. It was really 2008 when I first started working in ministry. So I'm getting close to year 17. Whenever we are in ministry, there is, first of all, internal things that we have to prioritize. And I said last episode, you have to make sure that you're honest about your limitations, that quitting is not an option. You may renegotiate responsibilities, but not quit. And then you're working on your disciplines, your spiritual disciplines and the physical disciplines, you know, rest, exercise, devotions. But let me give you a couple of more personal things. And then in our next segment, I'll finish with external changes. When you finally get to the point where you're saying, you know, I think I've done everything I should do, how do I reorient? Do I change ministries? Do I talk to my boss? Like, what does that look like? Okay, first thing for today's episode is your internal solution needs to be that your family is well. And what I mean by that is not that your family is perfect, but that your family is a place of refuge and your home is a place of refuge and refreshment for you. If your home is chaos, let's just be honest that that's more exhausting. And then you go back to ministry the next day and you have a lesser capacity. Those in our church that have the least amount of capacity have the most family issues. I almost said familial. Familial. I'm working on it, guys. Familial. They have the most familial issues. There's a wayward child. There's foster adopt kids. There's marriage issues, whatever it is. So you're really, you're doing your best to ensure that your home is cared for. When I think of my own principles, I've shared these on the show in the past. 4 nights of ministry every week is too much. That's 4 nights out for ministry purposes. That's too much. My max for ministry is 3 nights out. That's a principle that was given to me by my senior pastor and another mentor. 3 nights out is all that the church can have. Anything above that is too much. Now, if I'm going to a soccer game on the 4th night or we're going out with friends, that's different. But ministry can get 3 nights and anything above that is too much. I would expect no less than 1 or 2 nights out per week if I'm engaged in ministry. So this isn't a 9-to-5. And if you're in ministry and you have no nights out on a normal basis, then I would say you're probably not in a very influential position in ministry because there's evening meetings, there's ministry, there's midweek Bible studies, things like that that are just going to be taking place all the time. So remember, leadership is not a 9-to-5, and that is true for ministry leadership, if it's pastoral, missions, whatever that is. But also, you can worship your family and you can worship family time. And just because you're in ministry doesn't mean there are zero sacrifices for family. So I know that me spending every waking hour with my family could actually make me worse as a pastor and professor. So I have to balance that and say, you know what, guys, you don't get all of me. You get a lot of me, but you don't get all of me. I understand that I need to be faithful in my work capacities, which take me from my family. So that balance is that we are prioritizing our family, but we're not worshiping them simultaneously. We're ensuring that they are refreshed, they're ministering in a place of joy, that we enjoy our home environments, and that will make us more effective in other spheres. But at the end, we're also not retreating from ministry to only be with our family. That will not be in a long-term effective way to serve other people. So when you are able to go home to a place of refreshment, you're able to work harder. Some of you that manage people, you know that. When you go home to a place of refreshment, you show back up to work the next day, more capable of working hard and serving other people. So make sure your family is in a place of refreshment and that you're not worshiping them simultaneously. That will hurt your ministries long term. Number two, your own internal discipline, you have to have something within you that leaves it, that stops it when you leave the place that you're working at. Some of you are at churches. Some of you work from home in an office. Some of you are missionaries and you have no home. You're like John the Baptist walking around in camel skin. Some of you, like, it's not as easy because it's not associated with a space, but you have this clear line of, okay, I'm done for today. When you are done, emails are done. Event prep is done. Sermon prep is done. Admin is done. You can answer the phone for emergencies, but you can also say, hey, I'll call you back first thing in the morning. When you start to establish that, it just becomes a habit and you're not checking your email at 9 o'clock at night and responding to people and making work calls. So if I get a call from a congregant, I'm assuming it's an emergency if it's in the evening. You know, it's a rush, it can't wait till the morning. And when you create that culture, then that culture is honored by everybody will start to think, you know what, I should just wait till tomorrow, give them a call during business hours, so forth. So that's the goal. We want to respect each other's time. We want to help each other pursue their own families and personal lives. So in this, if you're not leaving that at work, that's not your boss's fault and it's not your congregation's fault and your ministry's fault. Now, some of you are you're lay ministers and that's the only time that you have. So then what you're doing is you're dedicating a specific time to when you will work on those things and then you're capping that time. It is not going to work for you to come home and spend your evenings working on your sermon for Sunday. That is not going to work. So your sermon gets 3 or 4 hours as a lay minister, but it doesn't get 20. It doesn't get that much. You cannot give it that much. You have a wife or you have kids or you have a husband. Well, you're not preaching a sermon if you're a lady, so let me clarify that. So you have other priorities. So if you're teaching the ladies Bible study, it's not fair to your family to then neglect them all week and teach it on Sunday. So you have these priorities. So even as a lay minister, you're establishing when you are not available and when you're going to stop working.
And if you don't have that, guys, it doesn't work long term. And I've told lay people, you can't be doing that. That's not good for you. It develops resentment by your family of the ministry. So first thing, make sure your family is in a place of well, refreshment. They're as well as you can encourage them to be. Second, you're stopping work and you're limiting that both in a lay and a vocational way. Don't finance your ministries personally. You're not paying for the things. As tempting as it may be to just get it done, you can't fund things, and that starts to create personal burdens on you. You're asking for budgets, you're helping grow budgets and develop them, but you're not funding those. 1 Peter 4:10, you are a conduit of God's resources, not the source of them. So just remember that you can do onesies and twosies here and there, but I do not encourage any person to be the primary funder. If you're a heavyweight donor, man, give it all away. You're going to give an account for that. But if we're talking about the average person funding their Sunday school material and class material and then bringing the baked goods and then the pencils, that starts to be taxing over time. And I would just say, don't see that as your responsibility primarily. So if you're not doing these things, it is on you. That's heavy. If you're not doing these things, it's on you. So let me take a break. When we come back, I'll pick up with this thought. And then we will move on to what are some external things to think about. So Jimmy, it is your turn, sir. We'll be right back.
And we'll be back with more from Dr. Gifford in just a moment as he continues to talk about ministry burnouts. Look, if you've been sitting there thinking, man, I wish I had someone like Dr. Gifford in my corner. Well, you know what? You actually do. Because what he's doing here on Transformed, he's doing the exact same thing in the classroom. Dr. Gifford, of course, is a professor at the Masters University, where biblical counseling, not just another major they offer, it's their mission. So whether you're thinking about college for your son or your daughter, or maybe even grad school for yourself, take 60 seconds to check out masters.edu/transformed. This is serious theology and serious formation that you'll learn from the Masters University. They're not messing around. And if you want more of what Transformed delivers here every week, which is the kind of clarity and laser focus that Dr. Gifford does. Look, there's a free app built specifically for that. It's called Fortis Plus. And if you have not downloaded it yet, please take an opportunity to download it right now. It's absolutely loaded with hundreds of hours of content. Absolutely free. We're adding to it every single day. There's no fluff, no wasted time. You're just going to find real substance from voices that you already trust. You can download it wherever you download your apps, or you can go to fortisplus.org. And again, it's free. You're never going to be asked for your credit card. You're not going to meet a paywall. You're not going to hit a free trial, nothing like that. Now, if Fortis Plus is already a part of your daily life, but you're not yet a Fortis Insider, well, look, that's going to take you even deeper. That's where we send you stuff before anyone else finds out about it. You know what's going on at Fortis Institute first. It's free as well to sign up. Just go to fortisinstitute.org and give us your email, and we'll load you down with information. And also, here's something that I want you to understand. Fortis Plus, with all of the content that we're producing, none of this happens without our gospel partners. That's the only reason this content can continue to be pumped out of here every day at the rate that it is because we have people who say, count me in, I want to be a part of that. And if that's you, if you would love to be a part of the mission here at Fortis Institute, we would love to lock arms with you. But hey, make sure you're giving to your local church first. That's your first priority. And if you are, you can go to fortisinstitute.org right now to find out any answers to any questions you could possibly have about what it would look like to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner. All right, let's get back to Dr. Gifford now. This is Transform. Welcome back to Transform.
The Bible informs us that difficult events or circumstances are not the cause of our bad decision making. Trauma merely reveals what is already in the heart.
And now your host, Dr. Greg Gifford.
Okay, welcome back. Thank you, Jimmy, for your resources and your kind words. You are the man. And I ended last segment by saying, if you're not doing these internal things, spiritual disciplines, rest, family, these work habits that you're getting into, if you're not doing them, that's not your ministry's fault. That's your fault. And I do think you can have shepherds and leaders that step in and say, whoa, like too much, you're doing too much. But the other side of that is to say, well, this is still your responsibility. So let's not blame our ministries. Let's not blame our people. let's not blame our pastors and things like that. We have a responsibility to practice these disciplines for long-term faithful ministry. And I think if you're listening to this and you're saying, you know what, I am a leader of others, Dr. Gifford, if you're a leader of others, then don't allow them to redline. Don't allow them to burn the midnight oil. There is no rejoicing in that. Don't allow them to forsake their families for the sake of sermon or lesson prep. That's not what we want. That's not who we're trying to cultivate. That type of person is going to be a flash in the pan, and they're going to burn out in 2 to 3 years or have marriage issues and family issues. So guys, as shepherds and leaders, we're not allowing that. We're not encouraging that at all. You won't have longevity in ministry if you do that. Now, lastly, in our final segment, you know, this is a two-part series. In our final segment, what are the external changes that you should consider? Now, I've rear-loaded these because these are not first. You have to develop your own personal aptitude before you can begin to say, should I change ministries and should I talk to my boss and so forth? So let me start with good communication. External changes that can take place, let's start with good communication and express your concerns or the weight of what you're experiencing right now. So I would say, first of all, you need to go to your leadership, whoever your ministry leader is, your pastor, if it's an elder team, if you're on the field as a missionary and you have a regional leader, you need to go to them and say, hey, look, I'm getting overwhelmed and I'm kind of redlining right now, and here's why. Bam, 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 bam. And they may say, you know what? You're totally right. I see it. I don't know how you're doing that. I think you're doing too much. Let's try to offload you. Let's try to renegotiate things. Like, we want to help you excel all the more. And then you work with them to be able to reevaluate responsibilities. That's an ideal circumstance. I've had to do that multiple times, both at Masters and at Faith Community Church, and just say, hey, look, responsibilities are growing and I have to be wise about what I can and cannot do. Both of my bosses have been very gracious to work with me in that way. So that's an ideal circumstance. We talk with them and then we say, great, this is how we're going to renegotiate going forward. We'll make a plan. But others, you're going to go to your boss and you're going to say, I'm overwhelmed. And they're going to say, how? What are you doing to overwhelm yourself? And you're like, well, I spent time doing this and this. And they're saying, that's not what I wanted you to do. I didn't ask you to do that in the first place. You took that on of your own initiative. So let's not do those anymore. Like, stop doing that. If your leadership is willing to help you, that is a great sign. And that help may be that they actually challenge you to excel and to refocus, and you get back into role clarity and job descriptions, things like that. And it may be that they say, hey, I don't want you working on those things that you're busying yourself with. So just let them go. Let's let someone else do that. But if your leadership is going to add an additional requirement, you know, more bricks, less straw, so to speak, is my guess is that your time there is going to be very short-lived. The guys that I've worked for that have just hit the accelerator and worked and overworked their staff, they didn't have tenured staff. There was no senior leadership. They would just basically trample people, use them, chew them up, spit them out. And you wouldn't have a guy on staff longer than 5 or 6 years. So if you're looking at a church like that and everybody's under 5 years, then it does make you wonder about the senior leadership and the type of pastor and elders that are there. Or if you're thinking like, man, I'm about to take a position and the 3 people before me burnt out and they're not in ministry anymore. It's like, well, you need to be very careful, because most likely it's the type of person that you're working for. And that leadership is not an awesome leadership. So my guess is, if you have gone to them and they are unwilling to help, they are right, your responsibility shouldn't change in any way, then I would guess you're going to start to look for something else. And that's okay. But remember, if you didn't address the personal issues and you didn't go talk to them, then you'll just take that same baggage with you to your next ministry. So before you pull the ripcord and you try to get out of there, make sure that you have personally grown and you've worked on good communication. And if you did not, then you're going to go to that next ministry and you're going to feel the same way in about 3 years. You'll get overwhelmed again. So that's talk to your leadership, good communication, express your concerns and work with them and really wait on their feedback. Listen well. That's the first step, good communication. Second, externally, you may need to reprioritize personal obligations. Some of you, your kids live this life as if they're professional soccer stars, and you're taking them from one end of town to the next 3 nights a week. and you feel overwhelmed in part because you got three kids all playing sports. Some of you are overwhelmed because you have personal commitments outside of your ministry that are really taxing you. And I would say this does apply primarily to paid staff, paid ministers in some way, that you have to reprioritize that your ministry is a priority, so other things are then oriented around that. Meaning that if you have multiple personal events that are tugging at your involvement in ministry, then you need to start to let go of some of them so you can prioritize your ministry. Now, in ministry, if you have multiple ministry nights out, that you're starting to step away from one of them, not quit. Remember, we're not quitting, but we're stepping away and saying, hey, two nights out is too much at this season of life. Three nights out is too much at this season of life. For me personally, I'm constantly having to wrestle with, do I take an extra writing project? You know, I just finished the Lies My Therapist Told Me project. Do I speak at that church? And I'm having to say no to more of those just simply for the sake of it's too busy. It's too crazy. I don't want to work all week, travel all weekend, not see my family, not be at church. Like, those things just start to take a toll. So we have to back out of other commitments that are just stretching us too thin. That's an external thing. That's not quitting, but that's letting go of those external commitments from our ministry. They're not the primary focus of what we're trying to do. So talk to your leadership, good communication, begin to back out of commitments that are non-essential as best as you can. You're not being unfaithful. You're not just cold turkey quitting on people, but you're backing out slowly and rearranging that. This is an interesting one, but you're making sure you're living on a budget. And you're like, wait a minute, yo, Gifford, what does that got to, like, stay off my back, Dave Ramsey. Well, I'm not Dave Ramsey, and I'm thankful for that. But I would say that if you don't know how to live on a budget, then you often start to get into this habit of needing more hours, needing more income, and then both you and your wife, you and your fiance, you're working like dogs. And part of it is because of the lifestyle that you're leading. So more work often comes from higher expenses. Have you ever noticed that? The people that are hustling, oftentimes it's because there's a reason they have to, in part. In ministry, you don't get paid overtime. I don't know anyone that gets paid overtime in ministry. But what happens is then our spouses pick up a job, or we have a side hustle outside of ministry. And then all of a sudden, the temperature level, the noise level of our lives goes up. Make sure that you can live on a budget. And if you can, then that will prevent you from those additional pressures of constant busyness, which leads to burnout. I will say the times in my ministry where we have been the poorest, and that's primarily, we've never made a lot of money, as you could probably guess. But it's primarily because of lower salaries and seasons of life where I was just at a low-paying position. It is exhausting to work all the time and still feel like you're broke and you have no margin in your budget. That's exhausting. So just make sure that you're living on a budget and you're not living beyond your means, because you will create additional stress if you are living beyond your means. That's the fact. So lastly, if you've done these things, you've reduced responsibilities, you know you're living on a budget, you're being faithful there, you've talked to your leadership. Lastly, if you're still at the point where you're saying, you know, Dr. Gifford, I can't do this anymore. Like, I'm going to die. Adrenal glands are breaking. Then I would say, okay, now you can start to talk about stepping away from ministry. You've done everything you can to stay in, but now you're going to think about stepping away. Okay, that's totally possible. You have a vision of where you're going to go next. You're going to serve the Lord in a different capacity, but you're not going to be burnt out, quit church, give up on pastors altogether. That's not the case. You've been faithful to do your best, and you just can't do it anymore. But not until you've gone through these internal and then external attempts to be faithful should you step away from your ministry. So if you have questions about this, you guys can email me, greg@transform.org. I'd love to dialogue with you. I've been dialoguing with a couple of folks, actually more than a couple. It's been like five or six, about the autism episodes that came out recently. So if you have questions about ministry burnout, please email me. I want to encourage you to be faithful. And I need your encouragement as well. So feel free, if you think about it, pray for me that the Lord would sustain me and that I would be a good steward of the things that He's entrusted to me as well. So let me pray for us that we would all be faithful. Lord, We all have responsibilities. None of us are serving you in isolation. So help us to be good stewards of that. Help us to do that for a long time, not to be faithful just today, but be faithful for life. And in our lives, help us to have joy in that, and that we are refreshed and ministering from a place of refreshment. Lord, that is what you've called us to do. So help us to do that well as we trust you for the resources and we look to you for the reason why we ultimately are serving in the first place. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
This has been Transformed from Dr. Greg Gifford, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Transform with Dr. Greg Gifford, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.